What is going on, everybody? Welcome to another Brand Doctor episode. Today, we're going to be talking about content strategy. You know, there's one thing to know what type of content to put out there. It's another thing to understand how to sequence that content that's actually going to get people to buy from you. So, got a great guest today. Company by the name of growmyreach.com. He's been around the space quite some time. We were chuckling earlier before we went live with this show on how he saw me on one of Russell's funnel challenges way back in the day, which is hilarious. But we got Steven Summers in the house. What is going on, bro?
Hello, sir. It is great to be here. I'm here to talk about what I love to chat about, which is, of course, marketing, growing your business. I get to talk with you, which is even better.
I appreciate that, man. So you've been in the space for quite some time. We spoke earlier, you were talking about how you started in the Amazon space, right?
Yeah.
So talk to us a little bit about that, how you kind of came up the ranks and now how you got into growmyreach.com.
Yeah, I'll keep this pretty short because I understand we want to get to the meaty stuff, right? But yeah, so I started my journey 12 years ago. I had literally no business experience at that point. And I was pretty fortunate in that I've realized at that stage of my career, I wanted to learn how to sell on Amazon. And the reason for that just was I had no business experience. I had no website, nothing. So I thought this is something I can get into. So I got fortunate in that my aunt heard I wanted to learn to sell on Amazon. So she connected me with this guy called Robert Rickey, who's still my business partner to this very day. And basically, Robert took me under his wing. I quit my job. I was a data processor at the time. And we started working together. I spent like nearly a year working in his warehouse, learning everything that I could about selling on Amazon. And basically, together, we just built a really good friendship, really good business relationship. And so we created a new business doing that, selling only on Amazon, selling all across the world. Did that for a number of years together. And then it was at that point, I've been doing it for about 4 years. And I was like, you know, one of the big things I love is direct marketing. I love all that kind of stuff. But I never had any like thing I could ever promote, like via webinar, emails, or anything like that.
You didn't have your own product.
Exactly. So I was 4 years in the game learning Amazon, and Robert is such a great expert as well. He'd been doing it for 20 years. We thought, you know, let's put our own program together because there was lots of people teaching it back then. You're talking 2014, we started that. And so long story short, we had no email list, no following, nothing. But from 2014 up until today, because that company is still growing as we speak, we grew this business, Marketplace Superheroes, teaching people all over the world how to sell on Amazon in lots of different strategies in Amazon. And now we have over 10,000 clients. We actually run a freight company as well. So we build a freight company off the back of what we were teaching. We have we call it a solutions company, but it's basically like a done for you kind of agency where we actually do things like photography and listings and all that kind of stuff for Amazon sellers. So long story short, we turn it into an 8-figure business. We've won many 2 Comma Club awards. So that then kind of brought me around to how did we grow Marketplace Superheroes? What were the strategies that we brought in to go from literally nothing to weird Irish guys, well, we're still weird, to growing to the level we're at now? And so that's really what brought me down the line of starting Grow My Reach, like you mentioned, because you know, one of the things we do really well is we build a lot of trust with our tribe. We also do really well with content, like you mentioned, and really using content and what I would call connection, which we can talk about as well as distribution, another thing to chat about today, to create something whereby we make a ton of money, but also more importantly, we build long-term clients for life. And I think one of the interesting things is that from time to time, at Marketplace Superheroes, we promote other people not that often, but now and again, we do some affiliate stuff. And even though like our list would not be as big as some of the, you know, really well-known names in the industry, whenever we do it and we get into like a joint venture competition, we almost always finish in the top three of any competition. And that kind of shows even with a relatively small, so we're talking maybe 60,000 people total on our email list, 10,000 clients in that list. You know, you can do a lot. You can grow a really significant business. You don't have to have hundreds of thousands of people or anything like that. And so, yeah, that's what I'm here to talk about.
That's freaking awesome. You know, see what teamwork does, see what persistence does, see what getting your hands dirty and actually making things happen does. It creates this, right? And now you're taking this and kind of expanding it into, you know, more of a marketing arm now, where yeah, you're teaching people how to market correctly. Because I got to tell you something, and I'll be straight up, you know, I had to get out of that online marketing space because it started to get a little too toxic for me. And I just saw people doing certain things that I just wasn't comfortable with. And brand association is real, you know, like people are going to size you up just by your affiliations. And I just didn't feel comfortable in that space anymore. So I had to get the hell out of there. Yeah. And, you know, there's some still good people in there. Don't get me wrong. I met some really awesome people in there, but then there were some sharks in there too, which I just did not feel comfortable, and they were spoiling it for the whole bunch. So my big question to you is, how the hell do you stand out in a sea of red? You know, what I mean by that is, if you understand blue ocean, red ocean strategy, that red ocean strategy is just completely infested with blood in the water because of the amount of sharks that are in that, in that space. So how are you able to break out of that stigma, if you will? Cause that's what started to happen to me. I went on a podcast one day. Actually, it was a podcast / YouTube live. Big audience, close to 1 million followers at the time. Now they're over 2 million. And I was getting pitchforks thrown at me from left and right because they were like, "You're a scam artist. You're part of the funnel squad." So I was like, "Oh man, there's a serious problem here." So I had to figure that out. So how did you kind of break out of that? Or are you still in it?
What's fascinating, Henry, I tell you, I always laugh because we're in this industry quite a while now doing what we do from the Amazon perspective. And like, if anybody ever asks some these big groups, you know, like, who is the best Amazon course or whatever, we never come up, right? So I think that's actually a good thing, to be honest, because we're not one of the huge, you know, huge names with like the big mansions and Lamborghinis and all that crap, right? We're very regular people. We just figured out something that works. And I think in marketing terms, in there is one of the secrets, I believe, to standing out by not being overly hypey, by not going the way of like, oh yeah, like in 30 days, no money down, you can make all this money and all that kind of crap, right? Because it is really mostly nonsense. So what we do is we basically break down for people how everything works. We talk plainly. And Jay Abraham had this, he talked about it years ago. It was this Maven Manifesto, I believe he called it at the time. And the idea was you just talk really straight to people. You show people how something works. You show them the results of that thing. And you break it down in terms that people can understand. So that's like an underpinning strategy. But getting more tactical then, you have to understand like, what are other people in the market talking about? So taking something very practical in our Amazon space, one of the things everybody was doing was saying, you have to sell on Amazon.com, only Amazon.com, nowhere else. So I was looking at this and I realized, and this is years ago, and we still use it to this day, that's an opportunity. So what did we do? We actually sell on Amazon globally. So there's one differentiation point. What else were they doing? They were all teaching people how to sell very competitive products, right? So what did we do? We have a completely different strategy. We actually sell a small products that sell a small number per day, but they're really non-competitive. They're boring. They're not exciting. Because what was everybody else teaching? Build this humongous brand. Get a website. Use Amazon. And we're like, no, don't do a website. Only sell on Amazon. Sell items that make a small number of units per day. And what did we do? We took small number of units per day, different product strategy, sell globally, and we created something called the Rule of Five. This made me millions of dollars, just by the way. And what that was is you sell five Amazon products. It sounds like I'm pitching Amazon now, but I'm really not. Five Amazon products in five countries, because you can sell more than just Amazon.com, right? Five units per day, $5 profit per product that you sell, right? So it's five by five by five by five. Yep. Over 30 days, that's $18,750 in net profit. So what that showed people who were just getting into the market was, holy crap, like, I don't need to do what all these other guys are telling me. I can do this. This is way simpler, way more believable. And we talked in plain, we continue to talk in plain terms. And what we did was we attracted the people in the market who were done with all the hype, who were a little bit older, which is perfect. And we literally built the business off the back of that. And I think when I speak to people now and grow my reach in that company, we work with all different types of clients now. And one of the biggest things I tell people is you got to understand the competitive landscape. What angles are people taking? What positions are they taking in the market? And when you understand that, you can go, well, what do I do that's the opposite of the things that is like the common knowledge in the market? So when you go the other way and you can back it up through numbers, through like statistics of what's going in the marketplace right now, what's happening, what are the trends that are going on? And then you can show like what even what Russell would teach, that the vehicle works, you can break the internal obstacles that people have. I can't do it. You then can talk about the external factors, right? And all of that comes together into a message where people go, I have to take notice of this because it's very different. And just say, Henry, like we've had it that huge, really well-known people in the industry would have promoted one of our competitors. I don't mind telling you, amazing.com, very good company, much bigger company than we were, certainly from an educational perspective. And what happened was people used to promote us as well, just because our message was so different. So we became like an alternative approach in the market as well. And that's the other thing. Unfortunately, people don't understand their competition. Therefore, they can't create a unique position in the market. And secondly, that I find in a lot of industries, people regurgitate the same methodology, right? Whereas our research methodology, for example, was very different. Our methodology, Can Grow My Reach, is very different. Although there are some elements that are similar to others, but we've got a unique mechanism, which I'm sure people have heard about that before. Well, you've probably seen, Henry. Most people don't actually have anything that's particularly unique, right?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. You know, everything has been done, right? Yeah. At least we think and it's just like not an abbreviation, but it's how could this be better? How could we improve upon this? And I've seen dozens of improvement brands, right, over the years, right? But to say that this is absolutely different than everybody else is so I like this zig, you know, you're zagged when everybody was zigging approach. It makes sense because it's open air. It's a lot clearer and cleaner. So let's get into the content strategy now of the know, like, and trust sequence, the KLT sequence, right? Yeah. We all know that the know, like, and trust factor is incredibly important. If nobody knows you, forget it. If nobody likes you, forget it. And if nobody trusts you, you're dead in the water. So again, I see people throwing up tons of content. There is no shortage of content being produced these days, but I don't see it being done in the proper sequence. So let's talk about that and spend the rest of the show kind of dialing in that and helping our viewers and listeners, like, how do we go about it? Because I think that's where people get frozen and they're like, this is too much. I'm out.
Totally. Well, I think there's a few things to discuss. I mean, one piece of this is distribution, right? Let's just start there. I think it's a good place to start. So distribution is obviously how do you get a message to your clients or your prospects? And what I see is very common. I say to people, you know, have you got an email list? Yeah. When's the last time you emailed the email list? Oh, I don't know. And it blows my mind because like email marketing, I can tell you, we send about 1.4 million emails a month. You know, it's the number one place for distribution for us. So that's the first thing. You got to have your distribution. We also have SMS distribution now as well, where we can actually text people. And also we use some direct mail only for clients. We don't use that for prospects. So if anybody buys one of our programs, we do actually use direct mail to get a message to that person, right? So that's just a little underpinning concept of like when you're building any kind of KLT, you have to have an ability to distribute your message. Obviously, we have social media. We do use Facebook groups and things like that for our clients. We do use them for prospects as well. So we do streaming and stuff like that. So there'd be the main channels. That's kind of step one, have distribution. The next piece then, like you mentioned, is like, what is the sequence? Well, I think even before you get into like a sequence of, well, what content can I create? We have to understand like what are the building blocks of KLT, right? And one of the big ones is I have to know you. Yeah. So the mistake I often see is that people lead with a really big marketing hook, which is great, by the way. That's a good thing to bring somebody in the door. But when someone comes in the door, you got to tell them a bit about who you are. Like, who are you? What's going on? How did you get to this place? And of course, people have got into the hero's journey and all that when they're doing webinars. And that has a time and place. But even simple things like, you know, are you married? Where are you from? What's happening there? Are you a real person? So that's part of what we do when we're building this little sequence that we're going to talk about, is we actually introduce ourselves. I introduce my business partner, Robert. I tell a little bit of a story about how we got to know each other. And we do that in a variety of different pieces of content, email, video, stuff like that, which I'll get to. So the know part is important. Then the like part then. So that refers really to even when you're presenting in your content, there's energy about you. You present in a way where you're actually a real human. You come across authentically, right? That's obviously important. And also it's key to understand what are the final pieces, trust. So how do we build trust? We build trust by giving, and then giving a little bit more. And then when the time is right, then obviously we can offer somebody the next step. But what tends to happen, and I continue to make this mistake sometimes as well. We forget that we have to fill up the jar of goodwill with people before we ever ask for anything. Sometimes we ask a little bit too early. So with all that said, what a KLT sequence is, and I didn't invent this, by the way. I've learned this from a number of different people like Justin Brooke, people like Caleb O'Dowd. I've taken some of those pieces and we pieced this together. It's a sequence which is usually email. And it can be followed with some SMS as well. And what it is, it's a mixture of emails and videos. Now, when you're doing the email portion, what you're doing is you're introducing yourself and your company early on in this process, because someone has downloaded something from you. They've got a freebie or they've bought something inexpensively. And so it's like you obviously want to acknowledge that with an email. And then the first thing you want to do is just tell people a little bit about you. You also tell them that you're going to be sending them a number of free gifts over the next number of days. So that creates positive expectation. I'm going to get some emails from you and they're going to be valuable. Obviously, the content then that we're going to give people over the next few days should be related to the initial thing that they opted in for. So in my case, if it was Amazon, I would be teaching them, how do you build an Amazon business from scratch or whatever? So then I have to ask myself the question. We have to do what's called liminal thinking. We have to go to the end. We want to become a client and start working our way back and asking ourselves the questions. What do people need to know at every single step so that they can obviously move to the next step? I actually learned that originally from Andre Chaperon a number of years ago, a fantastic email marketer, a good friend of mine as well. And he introduced that concept. So basically, how can you do this in your market? A really simple thing is type your keywords into YouTube and then start looking at what are all the top rated videos for that keyword. So how to sell on Amazon. And then you can look at the suggested videos, which are just to the right when you click into a video. What else is being suggested on that video? So in Amazon, it's going to be things like, how does it work? Like, what kind of different business models are there in there, right? Explain those. Explaining if you pick a particular business model, breaking them, how do you find products? How do you find suppliers? How much profit are you going to make every time you make a sale? How do you import stuff if you have to import? How do you find distributors if you're doing the wholesale model? How? So you're not teaching your course, by the way, if some of you are course creators. You're teaching what these things are about the whole way. You're showing examples, screen shares, things like that. But you're just walking somebody along. So at every step, you can ask yourself, okay, now that I've introduced myself, what's the first thing you need to understand? In my case, What's the business model? So my first piece of content is going to be about the business model. If you want to put that into the terms of what Russell does, it's like the opportunity. What is the new opportunity? So obviously, even when we're explaining how the business model works, we're going to have a marketing angle. At least I would hope so, right? We're going to have something we do that's different. Again, in my case, I would have explained things like the rule of five, like I talked about. I would explain we sell hidden gem products. What the hell is a hidden gem product? That's a terminology we came up with. So you want to also, when you're teaching these different pieces of what people have to do in order to get the result that you share or whatever the case may be, you want to be thinking about creating your own little pieces of IP along the way and naming your processes. Obviously, Henry, you teach a lot of that with branding. And obviously, that's part of it is coming up with names for things, signature names. So anyway, you're working your way along liminally. You're sending emails that's promoting that video content. Now, I actually have a client who helps people who have ADHD. So what I've learned from him, which has been fascinating, is long video is not going to work. His guys, they can't deal with that. So it's going to be short audio. So the point is, whoever your audience are, you want to give them content in the format that they like the most. So the ADHD crew, they're going to prefer audio content or really short written content. Yeah. Some people prefer guides. So each piece should be a guide. So what you can also do is whenever you're emailing to each of these pieces of content every day, you can beneath the video have the download of the transcription, the audio download, so that you're actually giving people more different ways to consume the information. But at a basic level, we're walking you through the pillars, the piece of information you need to know, instilling new beliefs in you the whole way through. So by the time we get to the end of that, you're ready to take a trial for something. You're ready to join something inexpensive, or maybe you're ready to go into the webinar funnel at that point in time and buy something that's in the middle of the value ladder. So that's basically what we're doing.
So is it like every 10 pieces of content, you throw out an offer? Is it something as rigid as that? Or do you just continue to just give without asking and hope that somebody's going to be like, you know what? This was the last video I need to see. I'm going to reach out to these people and I'm going to buy from them.
I love that question because I'm going to talk about something else in just a sec. That's a great question. So I think it depends, right? And in marketing, that there are two words some people don't talk about. It depends, but it really does because, you know, you take my avatar marketplace superheroes, they're usually just someone off the street, right? They've maybe never considered owning a business before. So, you know, I've got to cover a good bit of ground with them and build a good bit of goodwill before I ask them to do anything, because I have a lot of information I've got to instill in that person. Whereas if you're B2B, which many of you listening today may well be, you don't need to go through quite as much before you would make an offer. So for example, let's say in the case of Grow My Reach, right? Let's say we had a KLT sequence. I would likely offer someone an opportunity to book in a call, maybe even on the first video, because the problem that I solve is very definable. And the person that's coming in, they know they have the problem. Because remember, it's up there somewhere. It's Eugene Schwartz, right? There's three levels of awareness. We've got our problem aware, solution aware, product aware. And someone who's going to sell on Amazon, most cases, they're not necessarily solution aware. They're definitely problem aware, but they're definitely not product aware. Most people aren't, right? They're like, I want to buy Marketplace Superheroes courses. I just want to do that. No, most of the time it's going to be, I want to build a business online. I just don't know what to do. That's problem aware. Solution aware, I know I want to sell on Amazon, but I'm trying to find the right person. So they're going to be looking, they're likely to want to join something a bit earlier. They're still going to need more information to be able to trust me over the sea of people who are shouting at them. Whereas in my case with Grow My Reach, it's like if I have a course creator or I have someone who's a content creator and can't monetize their content effectively, I'm able to put a message in front of them. I'm able to talk about the problems they know they have, the solutions they're considering, and I'm able to put a new opportunity in front of them a lot sooner. So it's hard to say, oh, it's three videos, it's one. It really depends on the audience. But I would just say B2B, I think if you cover between one and three really strong videos, you should be able to make an offer of a phone call fairly easily. And this really goes against, I think, the like there's, you know, the 20 minute VSL that's been around for a long time, right? People watch a 20 minute video, then they book in a call with you. It's our belief of Grow My Reach, and certainly my belief as well, that's just not enough time in most business cases to be ready to part with a decent chunk of change.
Yeah.
Because they really don't know you. They really don't know if they like you, and they probably don't trust you after 20 minutes, right?
Right, right. So that leads me into two more questions. I'll get to the second one in a second. But how important does brand play in this scenario? Because one of the things that I found in the space that I was talking about before was nobody really thought branding was a big deal. It wasn't necessary. I just need a funnel, right? Yeah. That's how I was generating all this business. I just need it. But I got fed up with that because I'm like, no, you don't. Yes, you do need a funnel. You're correct. You do. You have no process whatsoever to take somebody offline and into your sales pipeline. You definitely need a funnel. But when I Google you, it's crickets. When I try to figure out like who you are, can't find anything about you. So do you need a funnel or do you need a reputation first or a brand first or something
that
helps me understand who you are? So, you know, I see this. So, you know, the first thing that I did, and I'm not beating you up here, believe me. I want to make the point and just so we can teach, right? When I went and Googled Grow My Reach, I didn't find anything but a funnel. And I'm saying to myself, where are these guys? You know, and that right away, I'm like, oh, another company out to try to just get into my pocket.
Absolutely.
Not saying you would do that.
No. I agree with that. And we call it the Google sniff test, right? And so I think if you Google Stephen Summers rather than Grow My Reach, you will have a very different experience. But I would totally agree. Grow My Reach is a new company, relatively new. Obviously, I'm in the space a long time, but Grow My Reach is new, which, by the way, is why I'm with you today. Because again, this is a great opportunity for me to start building that reputation now. Because I would 100% agree, and I can back this up with a lot of data as well, Henry, that, you know, we run advertising on Facebook and all that, like a lot of people do for Marketplace Superheroes, right? We will obviously be doing a lot of that for Grow My Reach as well. Yeah. But again, we're earlier days in that business's life cycle. But just to say, like, I can tell you, and it's hard to prove it with hard data because you can't always tell, but to the degree that I have advertising on, I can see when people come in to my organic funnel, i.e. on my website, and they then sign up for a $10 program or whatever the case may be. It's like, I can't prove it, but I know with certainty that people see it on Facebook, Marketplace Superheroes. Who the hell are they? Like you just said. And then they Google Marketplace Superheroes or they Google me or whatever. And there's lots of information. So they go to the website then and they go, oh, okay, I'll give these guys a try. Let me opt in. Let me register and let me go in. So I would say that putting content on channels like YouTube, very, very important. Going on podcasts, appearing there, very, very important to build, like you just said, the Google sniff test. And so I will come back to you in 6 months and you'll say something different about Grow My Reach. But I fully agree. Right now, all there is a funnel because that's all there is. Therefore, we've got to work on that.
Right. You know? And that's where folks come to me and say, listen, how can we expand our awareness? How can we grow our reach? How can we position ourselves better so people don't just see us as a funnel and they see us more as a legitimate business, right? Because we got to take ourselves outside of the funnel world, right? When you go outside of the funnel world, there is a negative connotation going on. And I am sort of the silent ambassador, maybe, if you will, that says, listen, not all of these folks are bad people. You know, they're not. Some of these people do spend, give millions away in charity, you know?
Yeah.
So you can't pigeonhole people like that, but that stigma is still there. So this is a great, great segue into the importance of personal brand, because what I heard you say was, when they Google my name, yes, or they come in through my organic channels because they have some sort of resonance to me.
Yeah.
I heard you say it's a much easier sell.
Well, I was just saying, if you Google Marketplace Superheroes or Stephen Summers now, you're going to see tons of content because I've done the work that everyone's got to do. I've been out there. I've talked about the company and all of that. So I have no, I would be very confident that that would be the case. But yeah, like when you go Google Grow My Reach, that takes time. I've got to do the work you just talked about for that business, which is why we're here today.
Well, you're doing it. Yeah. So yeah, exactly. You wouldn't be here today if you weren't doing it.
Exactly. And I think that's the other thing, Henry, that annoys me as well, right? Just like you've got those, I fully agree with issues as well. The big thing is that, well, you don't need to do any work. You just get a funnel, you run advertising, and you're going to make tons of money, right? But really what I've learned, and I teach all my clients, no matter what business we're in, is you've got to do front-loaded work. You know, you've got to put in time and effort at the front of the business, doing the stuff that you teach, some stuff that we teach. Again, the stuff that we do is very complimentary because you do stuff that's different to us and all that jazz, right, which is great because you need different, you actually need more than one expert, by the way, which is even why in Grow My Reach, I'm not the only expert in there. We've got other people that help me run Marketplace Superheroes. I've been teaching that part because that's the other nonsense. You don't have to put any effort in, just put up a funnel. You're going to make a ton of money. Not true. Then, well, you know, one person can just teach you everything. Not true, you know, not true. And then also that really business is, you know, a very basic thing. And really, it isn't. There are a number of elements that go into business. And obviously, it depends what level you want to be at.
Yeah.
If you want to be at a lifestyle business, making a couple of hundred grand a year in revenue, whatever. Yeah, cool. That's fairly simple. But when you want to get to a bigger level, which a lot of people come to us for, how do we go to 100 grand a month or whatever number they have in their head?
Yeah.
Then, you know, yeah, things change. And I think at the level you're playing at, when you're talking to even bigger companies and you're talking about branding and owning the market and stuff like that, that's another conversation again, you know?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. So here's the big question of the episode. I ask all my guests this because there's a few reasons why I want to do this. One is because I want to get a pulse on what some of the challenges that similar businesses in my space are dealing with, is what big business challenge are you and your partners trying to work through this year or continue to work through as we get into 2023?
Mm-hmm. Well, we've got a lot of different businesses, right? So we're dealing with a lot of different challenges at the moment. As are a lot of companies. I would say one big challenge we're personally dealing with is we run a freight company, like I mentioned at the top of the conversation. People may not know this, but freight rates actually 8x'd post-COVID. So that was a very interesting time for our company from a freight perspective because of that. So that's like a good example of environmental situational issues, I should say, that are challenging. From a perspective of Marketplace Superheroes or that particular business, I would say something that's not that it's a challenge or anything like that, but it's just like I'm constantly in the search of different models for acquiring clients because we're very good at the back end. That's where we're probably some of the best at, I would say. But I think that's the thing. Acquiring new people is always becoming more expensive. We all know that, right? And like we've talked about, and even in this episode, finding ways to come across and build that KLT sooner. So for me, I would say the biggest challenge for us in that particular business is how do we scale beyond what we've always done? Because we're at a very good level. We're doing multiple millions a year. Yeah. We're trying to get to a place where we move up to that next level. And I think that next level probably involves things like branding at a level that we're not doing it at. So I would say some of that stuff we've got to step up to over the next year.
Interesting. Well, listen, I would love to have a conversation with you about that. I think you guys have something very established. Now I believe the identity and the positioning and the messaging, all that needs to come up and meet you where you're at. And I see that a lot, especially in this space, is where like people get this overwhelming success up front. I wouldn't say overwhelming, but let me refrain from saying instant, but they grow pretty rapidly. And then they look back and they're like, whoa, what just happened. Perfect example was Lady Boss, the Paulins, right? The, I remember there's a funny little story here, and then we'll wrap. Funny little story here. When Brandon and Caitlin first came on the scene, now I've been a designer at that point, probably 7-8 years. I remember Brandon reaching out to me and asking me like what a funnel was going to run him as if he got it done with me. Right. And at the time I was selling him for peanuts because I was just getting my feet wet. Really? Right. So I think I said like $1,200 and he like laughed at me. He thought that that was so expensive. And like, that was such a ridiculous price. So fast forward, I would say it was probably about a year and change, right? I'm in Russell Brunson's mastermind group, and who comes walking in with his wife? Brandon and Kaylin. So I'm sitting down and I'm just listening. I'm not saying anything. He knows who I am, but he didn't want to like really say anything to me.
Sure.
We leave Idaho. And maybe a week later, he reaches back out to me and he says, I need you to brand this entire business. What's it going to cost? And when I gave him the numbers, then it was like 10 times the amount of money that I charged him a year and a half.
Of course.
Right? Steven, he didn't bat an eye, paid the whole thing in full and said, let's get to work. So it's crazy how they hit a level and they're like, oh shit, no, this branding stuff is important. Look at the Hormozis right now. They're getting all this claim to fame now. And it's like, they've hit the, I would say their pinnacle as far as like attention goes.
Yeah.
Right. At this point. And you hear him saying in conversations, cause I follow him. If you want to, you know, what did he say? Something along the lines of, if you want to create a business, you know, focus on your products. If you want to create a legacy, like focus on the brand, right? Yeah. It's something along those lines, right? And he's put a lot of effort into branding him and his wife now. And now they have this new business. But that's that next step. That's that next step. And that's what's going to drive you to that next level, like you mentioned.
Yeah, no, and it's exciting. You know, we've done some work on our brand in the past and yeah, it's been good. You know, we've definitely made some improvements to the look of what we're doing, but I think branding goes way beyond just the look, like we even talked about today, you know, and that's something that, again, I am always surrounding myself with people who are much better than me. I'm in this big learning phase at the moment. Like I'm really focused on improving our YouTube channel of Marketplace Superheroes as well. And obviously we're going to be making Grow My Reach YouTube stuff as well. There's a lot of stuff to do, right? Yeah. But equally, like, I just met this guy. I don't know if you ever saw the YouTube channel Film Booth.
I just bumped into him yesterday. Ed,
really?
I just learned about him yesterday.
You serious?
I swear. He came up and suggested, and I'm like,
oh yeah. No, sorry. I was like, I thought you met him in person. I was like,
No. He came up in my suggested feed, and I was like, all right, let me check this out. The video production is incredible.
So I say that because that's I'm now just starting to learn from him. How can we really up level? Because it's the exact same what I talked about when we come up with that rule of five, and we come up with that way to really stand out. It's the same with YouTube now. You know, we've been making some good content, but again, I would just call a spade and say we've done well. We've kind of done some of the things a little bit like a lot of other people are doing. And so now it's our opportunity to go, okay, how can we take our storytelling to the next level? How can we now lead in the industry rather than follow? And so once I do that journey, I'm going to come back to you and then we're going to do the branding then. That's going to be the journey.
Well, I'm here for you, my friend. I'm here for you. Steven, what a pleasure. We went way over. It's okay. Awesome conversation. Good luck to you in the future. I really love the fact that you guys are zagging when everybody's zigging, and you gave some really solid fundamentals here on today's show that, guys, I'm telling you, if you just implement this stuff little by little, it gets easier and easier, and you'll start to see that compound ROI. What do I mean by that? It's the little steps, little by little create these big movements. So, you know, you're not going to move a mountain with one push. It's going to take an army. It's going to take little steps here and there. And then eventually you're going to see that open up. And one day you're just going to wake up, just like all of us. We wake up that one day and we're like, holy shit, this feels easier. Right. And then sky's the limit. And so don't be so hard on yourself. Listen, Steven's been in the game 12 years. I've been in the game 15 years. We're still learning shit.
Oh, yeah.
You know, every day. Yeah. So you got to keep that in mind. Like Rome wasn't built in a day. And I always tell people that. So awesome. Yeah. Listen, before I forget, Steven, where can people go to learn more about growmyreach.com?
Yeah. If you go to Grow My Reach, you can definitely go there, like you just said beautifully, and check that out. And if you want to just see what we're doing with Marketplace Superheroes, definitely go to MarketplaceSuperheroes.com or check out our YouTube channel. Sometimes people just love to see what the hell we're doing there. So definitely feel free to check that out and just look at what we're doing, you know, and if you want to learn how, that's fine too. But what is always going to be good for you on this particular podcast. So Henry, I just want to say thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it. I know what it takes to build content. It takes a lot of effort. So thank you for putting in the effort. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. You're probably over the 500 episode mark at this point. So, you know, you're in the 500 club at the Brand Doctor podcast.
Love it.
Awesome. Guys, there you have it. Another episode in the books. Don't forget to subscribe. Don't forget to leave a review. This is the fuel that drives this show. I really enjoy you guys, and I really enjoy doing this. The amount of feedback I get from you guys is awesome. And please, if you found this episode valuable, please share it with somebody else that hasn't heard it yet. Have an amazing day, and I'll catch you on the next one real soon. Take care.